talk about heaven's geography. Heaven's geography, if I can. You know, that Nusu, that city in heaven, as it's described. Now, heaven, when we talk about it this way, we're talking about when we go there in our resurrecting bodies, that place where God dwells. But look what John said here in John, Revelation 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. Now in verse 9, And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come up hither, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the Spirit to a great and a high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. Now you picture this city now. You picture these mountains, these buildings, these streets, these walls, this place where Christ is. And this city came down having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone, most precious, even a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates. And at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east gates, on the north, on the east three gates, on the north three gates, on the south three gates, and on the west three gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations. And in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city and the gates thereof and the walls thereof. He's going to measure this city for us now. Got him a reed. He's going to show us how big this place is. Talking about the geography of it. And the city lied four square. I mean, it was the same on all sides. And the length is as large as the breadth. And as he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall out of 144 cubits. That's high. The wall around that place. 144 cubits high. According to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel, and the building of the wall of it was jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedonia, the fourth an emerald, the sixth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprase, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls, every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it, as it were, transparent glass. Now, he just described a city. Just described a place where there's glory. This place has the glory of God. It has the glory of God. And, you know, whenever you see a character of heaven, and they show it in movies and the way people talk about it, it's just this great big white. Everything's just white. Everybody's dressed in white, and white, bright white. And it's almost like in the North Pole it looks so white. But that's, and then you got all these people that have these near-death experiences and make what they call, some writers said, a day trip to the next life. I saw a neurosurgeon, graduate of Harvard University, well-known neurosurgeon. He died. I mean, this guy ain't a fly-by-night fellow. He died and he said he met God. He said he's just as sure there's a God now in the heaven as there as he is sure of anything. Before that he didn't have no faith whatsoever. But he said he died and he seen God. Went to where his great comforted being came to him. I personally don't believe any of it. Now, you know, I don't know what kind of God he met. I don't know what kind of light he saw. I don't know what kind of warmth he felt. But I tell you, the only information that we have concerning heaven itself, the place where God dwells and where all the Lord's people will dwell one of these days, is in God's blessed Word, the Bible. That's the only place there's really any information about it. And the Scriptures has lots and lots of information about it. And when I read there to you, I read about this building there, this mountain there, and this city there, and these walls there, and these foundations, and then these foundations, 12 foundations, 12. And they start going through all the different things, the layers of those foundations, and all the jewels in those foundations. And there were the 12 apostles with their jewels in them. And so you see this in vivid detail concerning heaven. And they have all these, and then when you get there, when we get there, we'll deal with this later. It's populated. It's got a population of a multitude of people that's absolutely you cannot number them. You cannot number them. And they'll live. They'll worship there. They'll worship at this place. They'll live there. And I'm going to say this, in this new heaven and new earth, when this city comes down from heaven, we'll even work there and worship there, and it'll all be God's elect, and we'll go in and out of the presence of God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ and all the host of heaven itself. How many angels were they said there? There was angels at every one of the gates. So it's an incredible place. And all beloved, listen. I want to look at this thing today. First of all, let me tell you something about this new heaven. You know, when it talks about, he says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth." Heaven as it is right now, it's invisible to us. We can't see it. Nobody's been there and come back and told us what it's like. When Paul went there, he came back and said, "I can't tell you what I've seen. I can't do it." And John's the only one who's ever been there, and he told us the things that were going on. But this place is as presently as it is. It's invisible to us. But this place called heaven is the dwelling of God, the Father Himself, and the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that crucified, risen Lord Jesus Christ. And this place where God dwells now is called the third heaven. And the Lord looks down there upon the children of men, and the Scriptures tells us He looks to see if there's any that understands, if there's any that seeks God. So He's sitting there right now, and there is nothing but glory there, and God there, and His Son there. And when our Lord Jesus Christ comes back again, that's when the new heaven and the new earth will come. But beloved, until that time, it's invisible to us, but it'll be visible at that time. And I tell you this, and until everything's just exactly the way it's supposed to be, that's not going to happen. Because you see, as we go through history, the kingdoms of this world have not become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it says that's going to happen. Ain't that what it says? The kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody will bow to Him. Look what it said in Revelation 11:15. That's what it says. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were great voices in heaven saying, "The kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of His Christ, and He shall reign forever and ever." Now that's when this new heaven and new earth, that's what's going to happen. And I tell you something else that's invisible to us. The full number of God's people is why it's not happened yet. The population of heaven. Do you know how many people have yet to be saved on this earth, maybe? Maybe a million, maybe hundreds of millions. I don't know. I don't know how many people yet God's going to yet save. There's people that's not yet been born that Christ died for that's going to hear the gospel and come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Before I was born, Christ died for me.
Before anybody's born, Christ died for them. It's the gospel that comes and makes them understand that. And there's a multitude that's yet to be saved before that final day. And beloved, when we get to the end of history, our Lord Jesus Christ will send His angels and gather His elect out of every tribe, kindred, nation, tongue, and people. And when we get there, this is the place we'll see. Now look what He said here in verse 1 again. He said, I saw a new heaven, new earth. Now watch this. And here's when the earth is going to be transformed. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. Passed away. Oh my. He says, you know, our Lord Jesus Christ, He said, heaven and earth will not pass away. Not one jot or one tittle shall fail in the law before the earth will pass away. It won't do it. I mean, you know, the earth will pass away before anything will ever change. And He says, my word, but my word is, well, the earth will never pass away according to my, you know, heaven and earth shall not pass away till my word be fulfilled. And look over here in 2 Peter. 2 Peter, we're going to get to this here in a minute and really deal with this, but I don't know how much you think about heaven, think about this new world, but the Lord Jesus says that the world and the lust thereof shall pass away. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. That's what He says. My word will, you know, and that's the thing about it. When this heaven and this earth pass away, God's word will be just exactly as it always was. And look what He said here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise. What great noise? I believe it'll be the trumpet of the Lord Jesus Christ when He shall come with a shout, with the voice of an archangel. And when it talks about coming as a thief in the night, that don't mean He's going to come at night. That means He's going to come when you least expect Him. You know, if you sat up and watched all night, a thief would not break in your house. That's what our Lord said. And so when it talks about He comes as a thief in the night, He'll come as unexpected as a thief coming into your house. And on He says this, and the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements, heavens, the earth shall melt with a fervent heat. The earth and all the works therein shall be, what? Burned up? Burned up. A lot of folks think that's going to be a nuclear holocaust. No, see, God's going to do that. It wasn't nuclear holocaust that caused Sodom and Gomorrah. God to rain brimstone down on fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. It was God that sent the flood. It's God that destroyed the old world, and He's going to destroy this world. And I tell you what, and Hebrews 1 says this. He said, then He'll take these old heavens, said they'll perish, and they'll grow old like a garment. He'll just fold them up and change them, and He'll fold them up, put them away, and bring out a new one. That's what He'll do with this new heaven, new earth. And the earth will be transformed. And look what else it says there. And this is really, really something. And He says there in verse 1 again, it said, the first heaven, their first earth passed away, and there's no more sea. No more sea. You know, God said He'd cast our sins into the depths of the sea, never to be remembered against us anymore. And then when we get to this new heaven, new earth, there ain't going to be no need of sea. No sea. You know, at present, in the day in which we live, the sea, God says, you know, that the wicked are as a troubled sea. They cannot rest. They just turmoil all the time. And the sea is like this world. It's just typical of the world. It's just waves, tempest and tossed, and the waters and the waves just back and forth and against one another, and the nations and the people in constant conflict. And I tell you what, beloved, God says that all the conflict and all the worry and all the waters and all the waves and all the storms, they're going to all be done away because there won't be no sea. How many times did the disciples get caught on the sea in a storm and the Lord Jesus come to them? Well, the sea's going to be done away with, so there'll not be no more storms.
And then look what he says. They're going to be he's going to break this new heaven and this new earth. And all beloved, this new heaven and new earth would just be as just one. Just like the heavens and the earth to us are just one right now. Could you imagine being on the earth without a heaven? Could you imagine being in heaven without an earth? And that's what they'll do. They'll be as one. And this is always mentioned throughout the scriptures. Look in Isaiah. Keep Revelation 21. Look in Isaiah 65. This is what God said is going to happen. You know, we think about going to heaven when we die. I do. I think about all the folks that's done going on. I believe they're in paradise with Christ right now. I believe that when we think about going to heaven, we die, and of course we do. The souls, the spirit of believers at their death are made perfect in holiness. They go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, pass into glory. That's what Paul said, for me to die is gain, for to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. But this body's not going. The body won't go till the resurrection. The body won't go until we get in this new heaven and this new earth. It's the spirits of just men that's made perfect. And look what he said here in Isaiah 65 and 17. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. And the former shall not be remembered to come into mind. Ain't that what he said? Behold, I make all things new. You know, when we get in this new heaven and this new earth and the resurrection, when Christ comes and all his people go, and then in this new heaven and this new earth, we will not remember one thing about this world and anything that was ever in it. Not one single thing. We'll not know where it'll be, just like it never existed. Never existed. Whatever Adam was like in the Garden of Eden, it won't hold a light to what God's got prepared for us. I really believe that. But our hope reached beyond going up to glory and the way we would now. Look what he said here in Isaiah 66:22. As for the new heavens and the new earth, which I will make, they're going to remain for me, saith the Lord, so shall your seed and your name remain. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come to worship before me, saith the Lord. Now we come here to worship. We come here to gather around, hear the Word, study the Word, to pray, sing some hymns, meet together, enjoy the gospel together. Will you imagine what it'll be like in this new heaven and new earth when we go to worship God in this new temple, in this heavenly Jerusalem, in this new temple that comes down? And that's why, that's what he's talking about. Our hope of heaven is in a new heaven and a new earth, and there, beloved, everything will be made new. And I'll tell you something, God has his own timetable. You know what he's doing? He's reserving this present world for a fiery, fiery end. Let's go back to 2 Peter just a minute. I shouldn't have left there a minute ago, but let's look at it again. In 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, he's gonna destroy this world, and I tell you, he's going to destroy it with fire. The elements shall melt with a fervent heat. And everything, all the works, everything that goes on in this world shall be burned up. God's going to burn it up. All the things that people hold dear, God's going to burn it up. You got this group, you know, that they're going to come back here and stay 1,000 years. No, ain't going to be nothing here to come back to. He's going to burn it up. He's just going to melt it. He's just going to melt it. And oh, beloved, and then look what he says. And he makes some practical things for us to think about. Seeing then in verse 11 that all these things shall be dissolved. You understand that these things are going to happen. That this is real. This is real. This heaven and earth that is now shall just going to go. They're going to melt. They're going to burn. And since they're all going to be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be? Well, you ought to be in light of this new heaven, this new earth, of what God's going to burn this earth up. What kind of person ought you ought to be? Well, you ought to be holy in your manner of life and in godliness. Huh? And I tell you what else we ought to be doing. We're looking for and hastening. We say, Lord, come on. That's what John said. Lord, come quickly. He said, I come quickly. Come on, Lord, come on. Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God. Come on, Lord. The world's wicked. Things ain't going to change. Oh, hasting. Haste the coming of the day of God. Wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. But now listen. Nevertheless, we, who's we? We'll find out in a minute. We, according to His promise, what are we looking for? A new heavens and a new earth. And this is what I love about it better than anything. More, so much more than the place is what it's like when we get there. Righteousness dwells in that place. Just nothing but righteousness. We love righteousness. We rejoice in the righteousness of Christ. We stand righteous before God right now. Sinless before God. Infinitely righteous. Perfectly righteous. Completely righteous. Right now. But you imagine going there without this body and everything. The hills be righteous. The trees be righteous. Everybody in it be righteous. Just righteousness in the whole world and in the whole universe. And guess what? You won't have to live with you anymore. Be that new fella. And look what he goes on to say. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, this coming of Christ, this burning of the world, this new heavens and this new earth where dwells right. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, and we're looking, oh, I'm looking. Seeing we look for such things, be diligent. Listen to the gospel. Listen to the word. Listen to the scriptures. Be diligent that you may be found in Him in peace without spot and a blemish. And listen to this. Oh my. And we account that the long suffering, and this is why, God ain't wrapped this thing up yet. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Huh? Even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Oh my. What are we looking for? What a day that'll be. And you know the creation itself. In Romans, look over in Romans chapter 8. Let's look at that just a minute. You know, the creation now groans. And you know why it groans? Because of sin. Because of sin. The very minute that Adam sinned, briars and thorns and heat and rocks and desert and dust and you know, you go out to raise a garden. You got to raise a garden. You plow it up, and then after you get it plowed up, you got to go out there and fight it day in and day out just to raise yourself some corn and some potatoes and fight them weeds and fight that dirt and dust and all that and fight because that's what sin's done to this world. And in this new heaven, new earth, there won't be none of that. It'll be new. There'll be and what did Paul say here? He says for the creation itself, look in verse 20, was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of Him who has subjected the same in hope. God subjected this creation to the curse, but He's put it in hope that it's going to be renewed itself because the creation itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, the bondage of sin. When the glorious liberty of the children of God, when God sets all of His children free, when they all go together, then this world itself will be delivered from corruption. Now watch what it says. And we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And it'll cease to groan. It'll cease to be in pain. And it'll cease to groan anymore because of the burden of the sin of humanity. And when God sets these people free, this new heaven, new earth, this earth won't groan no more. Won't groan no more. You'll never have to sweat another. He said, by the sweat of your face, that's what you're going to eat your bread with. Everything you get, nothing's going to come easy for you. And this creation knows that. That wind that's going to blow and tore all these houses and stuff down today and kill these people, that's creation groaning. These tree limbs going to be blowing, that's creation groaning. That's because of sin, the burden of sin. And one of these days, this creation, when God sets us free and our freedom comes, that redemption of the body, this creation itself will never go again. It'll be set free too. Huh? And this place we live in now, oh my, I've seen today over in China that this is so bad over there that they can't even take planes off because you can only see about 100 yards of pollution so bad. See 100 yards of pollution so bad. Everybody got masks and everything on.
Won't be none of that.
And then look what happens here. Oh my. And then he says, back over in our text, Romans, Revelation 21, just a minute. Oh, what a day. What a time this is going to be when the Lord's people come. Oh, what a day. What's it going to be like when Christ gets all of us out of here at the same time? And he sees a new city even. A new city, a place of worship. And he said in verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, listen to this, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. You know, it descends from heaven. It already existed. It says, I saw the holy city of New Jerusalem. It was coming down. It already existed. He said, everything is always up there. It's always there. It's there now. But John said, I saw it coming down. And it come down from heaven. Come down out of heaven. Come down to this new heaven, this new city, this new heaven, this new earth. And it becomes the very place, the center of this new heaven and this new earth. And you know, when you start thinking about Jerusalem, you go all the way back to Melchizedek. That city of Salem, that's where it was. That was the city of peace, Jerusalem. That's where Jerusalem started, back there. And then you go to David's day. Jerusalem, that was called the city of David. That's where God dwelt in the temple and blessed him with his presence in the temple. And Mount Zion is where he was, and that's the church. But when you find Jerusalem throughout the scriptures, that's the place that people worship. That's the holy city. That's the place that God dwelt. That's where the temple always was. And that's why some of the Jews says this, if I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. Oh, Jerusalem. That's what he said, this new Jerusalem, this heavenly Jerusalem. And you know, it talks about all these people there. We'll deal with that next week. But you know, when you go into a city, it's just life, people moving about, life. Streets and avenues and people moving, going all about. But this city right here, this place called heaven, it's never felt the chill of death. There's never been a grave dug in that place. It's a place where life is. This is a place where there's no tears, where a sorrow's never been felt. It's filled with eternal, brilliant, and vibrant life. And all, beloved, listen. And you know who was looking for this city? There was a fellow named Abraham one time. He said he went looking for a city whose builder and maker was God. John said, I saw it. This is, look over at Hebrews 12 with me just a moment, and I'll quit. Hebrews 12. You know, and now this Jerusalem is as the church. He said, you've come to Mount, this is where God's going to meet with His people. This is where we go in and out and worship. This is going to be the center of this place. In Hebrews 12, look what it says. In verse 22. But you are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God. Listen to it. The heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Now wait a minute. To the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the spirits, to God the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. And so John said, I saw this new Jerusalem coming down. And guess what she was? She was as a bride adorned for her husband. And you know all and through the Old Testament, God said that He was our husband. That He had a spouse to us. So you see, beloved, it's going to be a great marriage with the Lord Jesus and His people in eternity. And the dowry is going to be that new Jerusalem, that new heaven, new earth, and that new Jerusalem. Oh, I wish I could think about it the way I ought to think about it and rejoice in it the way I'd love to rejoice in it. But one of these days, one of these days,